got to do anything. We got to get right before we come to God. We come to Him just as we are. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank God for that. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to go to Romans chapter number 5 with me this evening. Romans chapter number 5. I have a somewhat of a topical message this evening. So there are different types of preaching. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that. I'll use that as a segue to take a moment to teach here real quick. There's different types of preaching. There's expository preaching, where you might take a particular text and you break down what's happening, line upon line, precept upon precept, and you kind of expound on what is happening, and what's being taught, what's being explained, what's being preached, whatever you find there in the Scripture. There's a textual message where you take that text and you focus on one text primarily, and whether it be a primary application or a secondary application that might underlie that spiritual truth, you take it and you take your message from that text, and then you have what was called a topical message where you take a focus or a certain aspect of the Christian life and you go throughout the Bible and you look at what the Bible has to say about it. And tonight, that's the kind of message that we have here. We have a topical message, and I hope and I pray that it'll be a blessing and encouragement to somebody, because I tell you, when God gave me this message, it really did help me. And it's exactly what I needed to hear, and I'd like to talk for just a few minutes here this evening on something that every person in this room is either struggling with or has struggled with or will struggle with, and that's loneliness. That's loneliness. You know, I was talking, I mentioned a few days ago when I was preaching, I was talking about how I had went down to Cabo Hunt and I visited this lady in the church. She started the soul winning program, her and her husband at Taze Valley years ago, and she lost her husband several years ago, and we got to talking about the church, and we got to talking about how things change when you move, and how, you know, you're not just a few minutes away from all your friends and family anymore, but you're somewhere separate. And I know I'm not too awful far from them, but it's not like I can just call them and hang out with them each and every single day like I was. And I told her, I said, truthfully, I said, that's the hardest aspect of it. I said, I can overcome that. And I said, I'm thankful. The people in the church are nice to me, and they treat me good. They encourage me. I said, I thank God for that. But I said, it's still hard missing my friends and those I grew up with and those I grew up around, and especially the ones I grew up in the Lord with there at the church, my church family. I never known anything that special in my life before, and now I'm completely taken out of that comfort zone and put somewhere that I'm not familiar with. And I was talking about that loneliness, and she said something to me, and I'm never going to forget what she said. It was simple yet profound. She said, Mike, I can tell you why you're lonely. I can tell you why you're lonely. And I said, why is that, Miss Mildred? And she said, because it's your time to be lonely. She said, everybody has a time to hurt. Everybody has a time to be lonely. Everybody has a time to be on the mountaintop. Everybody has a time to be in the valley. She said, it's important that we experience those things. We become more acquainted with the sufferings of Christ. And she said, remember how lonely Jesus was? She said, the prophet Isaiah was. Remember how lonely the prophet Jeremiah was. Remember how lonely John the Baptist was. She began to speak through the Bible testimonies of those who have been lonely throughout the Scriptures, and what we find from the Bible, what it teaches us about it, and it encouraged me. And about 2 years ago, the Lord gave me this message. I was going through a real hard time. I was lonely. It's when I was up there in Pleasance County, and things were going, it was a hard way for me. I was butting heads with the Lord. I was fighting against the will of God and the church. It just seemed like the more I prayed and the more I tried, the more effort I put into it, the more opposition I had. And it was a hard time for me. And in the midst of that, I had personal struggles and family struggles that were going on that were just weighing heavy on me and breaking me down. And there were some days I can't even explain how lonely I felt. And I began to search the Scriptures about what God's Word tells us and how we can combat that loneliness in our lives, because I believe that we can combat it spiritually. Amen? And I want to say this by way of introduction before we get into any of the text tonight. There's a difference between being alone and being lonely. Okay, there's a difference. You can be alone and not be lonely, okay? Oftentimes, the two go hand in hand and they come together. But on the other side of that coin there, you can be right in the midst of a bunch of people who care about you and love you, and you can feel so separated, you can feel so lonely. See, the opposite of being alone is having company, but having company won't soothe loneliness, won't cure loneliness. See, the only cure to loneliness is fellowship. There's a difference between having company and having fellowship. Amen. That difference in being alone and that difference in being lonely is the difference between having company and having fellowship. And tonight, I believe that there's several ways that you and I, as Christians, as born-again believers, as the people of God, can combat that loneliness in our lives when it comes our way. Because let me say this to you in here, friend. When you get lonely and when you get down, the devil sees that as a vulnerable moment in your life. He sees that as a moment of vulnerability, and he's going to take every chance he gets to take advantage of that opportunity that he has. And so you and I, as Christians, we have to fight, we have to combat that loneliness. And I believe that we can combat it because we can have fellowship with our Savior. Amen? Not only can we have fellowship with our Savior, we can have fellowship with the Spirit of God. Not only can we have fellowship with the Savior and with the Spirit of God, but we can have fellowship with the saints, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'd like to look through the Bible this evening in just a few ways that we can combat that loneliness and how we can help encourage ourselves in the Lord in those times that we feel lonely. Romans chapter number 5, if you have your Bibles there, say amen. First and foremost, I'd like to point this out. This is the most important thing I'm going to say the whole night. So if you're going to listen to something, listen to this. You can have fellowship with the Savior tonight through salvation. Through salvation. That is first and foremost, the most important thing in your entire life and your entire being is that you have fellowship with the Savior through salvation. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by this faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The only reason that you can have fellowship with God tonight is if you've been saved by the grace of God, if you know Him in the pardon and forgiveness of sins, if you know Him by faith as your Savior, you can have fellowship with God. I reference this scripture oftentimes, many a times. The Bible says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The only way for a wicked, hell-bound sinner such as ourselves to get to a holy God is through the man Jesus Christ. Through what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross as He hung there on that old rugged cross suspended between heaven and earth, suspended between God and man, and He cries out, He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He paid the payment, He paid the price, He made the transaction. His own precious blood paid our sin debt that we could not pay ourselves. Amen. And if you want to have fellowship with God, and let me say this, you're not going to have any kind of fellowship like you have fellowship with God. Amen. I sure do love it to get around the people I love. And I love you guys. And I love this church. I love each and every single one of you. I pray for you. I think of you often. And I love spending time with you and being around you. And I love it when we have a good time. And when we're laughing, and when we're smiling, when we're cutting up, and we're carrying on, we're just having a good time. But I'm telling you something. There is nothing like having fellowship with God. I might have shared this story before, but the strongest, I've been in some real, real good camp meetings. I've been in some real, real good services. I'm talking about tens and 20s, 30, 40, 50 people getting saved, and God's stirring up that place, and you just feel like you want to sit back and not even move and not get in the way of what God's doing. And you can just feel the presence of God so real in that place, like He's sitting right next to you. I'll tell you, the strongest presence of God I've ever felt was as a 19-year-old boy on the back of a school bus. I had just volunteered to work in the bus ministry at Taze Valley Baptist Church, and I was in the back of that bus, and I had all those kids wrangled up back there, and there, those kids are wild. There are something else on a bus ministry. How many of y'all have ever been on a bus van full of kids before? Those kids are crazy. I mean, they're punching each other, spitting on each other, putting gum in each other's hair, hanging each other out the window, doing everything they can just to cause a ruckus. And I remember this little girl, she raised her hand and she said, Brother Michael, she said, I watched something on TV about Jesus the other day, but I got confused. And her name was Lily. I said, Lily, why is that? And she said, because there was three crosses and there were three men on the cross and not just Jesus. And I began to explain a little bit to her. I said, well, I said, those were the thieves. I said, he wasn't crucified alone. He was crucified with two thieves. And we went into Luke chapter number 23 and we began to look at it. And I asked those kids, I said, how many of you have heard the story of the thief on the cross? And not a one of them raised their hand. And I'm telling you, I couldn't explain it if I tried. The strangest thing happened. I got in the back of that bus and I got my Bible and I opened up that very same Bible that's sitting on that pulpit. And I was looking at those kids and I was teaching them of the thieves on the cross, and I was teaching them the crucifixion. And for the one and only time that I've ever been in the bus ministry, every single one of those kids was dead quiet. They were dead quiet and they were sitting in those seats and they had their eyes locked in on me, and it's like nothing was going to rob their attention from me. And I'm telling you what, it felt like God was standing next to me. I can't explain it, I can't understand it, but I know this, the presence of God Almighty was on that school bus. And you welcome the presence of God in your life, and you're saved by the grace of God, and the Holy Ghost of God bears witness in your heart. When God shows up, you're going to know it. Amen. You can have fellowship with your Savior. You have to have salvation. What is it we just read? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can have fellowship with the Savior this evening through salvation. And not only through salvation, take your Bibles and go with me to John chapter number 15. I want you to see something. John chapter number 15 and verse number 9 is where we're going to be looking at. And the Bible says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And this is, I was studying, I was thinking about this message, and I was thinking about that scripture, and that grabbed a hold of me earlier. Jesus is speaking and he says, as the Father loves me, so have I loved you. That's a love far beyond our comprehension. That's a love far beyond anything that you and I could ever even grasp. The greatest, most intimate, most perfect, most holy love you could ever imagine on this earth. The love that a mother has for her children. The love that you have for your parents that have nurtured you and raised you and taken care of you your entire life. The greatest love that you can imagine on this earth that you could feel. God loves us so much more than that. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And let me just put on the brakes there for 1 second and make sure that I explain myself well. God is not going to stop loving you if you don't keep his commandments. But listen to me, you can get out of fellowship with God. You can be a Christian, you can be saved, you can be on your way to heaven, and you can get out of fellowship with God. And you can grieve the Holy Ghost and you're still sealed by the Holy Spirit, you're still kept by the power of God, but you can get out of fellowship with Him. And what it does, that disobedience to God's will and that disobedience and that not keeping His commandments, it robs you of the joy of your salvation. It robs you of the joy of the peace that you have with God. It robs you of the joy that comes with having fellowship with your Savior through salvation, just like we mentioned a moment ago. It steals all that from you. The very next verse, he says this, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Not only can you have fellowship with the Savior through salvation this evening, you can have fellowship with the Savior through submission. Through submission. The Bible says in James in chapter number 4, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse number 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. See, God knows, and James, he knows that flesh is going to give us a hard time. That flesh is going to lust against the Spirit. It's going to war against your soul. It's going to war against your spirit. And he knows that if we're not in submission to God, we're going to be out of fellowship with him. It's going to rob us of our peace. It's going to rob us of our joy. It's going to rob us of our focus. But he says in the Scriptures, he says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. That means every step that you take towards God, He takes another step towards you. And I've heard it said this way, and it's been put so well. When you draw nigh to God, the closer you get to Him, the roars of the world and the enticing wickedness of the world trying to draw you and allure you away, trying to appeal to your flesh, those big roars, they begin to dull until they turn into whispers, until right there you are in the bosom of our precious Savior, in the presence and fellowship with God, and there's nothing the world could do to get you to turn your back on Him. He says, draw nigh unto God, and I will draw nigh unto you. You want to combat loneliness in here this evening, you can have fellowship with your Savior. Not only can you have fellowship with your Savior, I'm glad you can have fellowship with the Spirit. You can have fellowship with the Spirit. Amen. Take your Bibles and go with me to 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 1. If you don't want to turn there, that's okay. I'm going to read the Scripture anyways. But 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 1, we find an interesting phrase that Paul is using when he's talking to the church at Thessalonica here. He's instructing them and he's just giving his greeting. And he makes an interesting statement we find in the first chapter in the 6th verse. He said this, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." And might I say to you, church, in here this evening, that you can have fellowship with your Savior through salvation and through submission, but you can have fellowship with the Spirit through the Scriptures. Through the Scriptures. You know how many times God's told me exactly what I needed to hear when I opened this book right here? I'm talking, it's almost eerie. You're looking for something. You're praying for an answer. You're looking for God's will. And you get down and you get in your Bible and you go and you begin to read, and sooner or later you only get a verse or two into it and God gives you that answer that you need. That's the witness of the Holy Ghost in those Scriptures. See, there's two agents in this very present day through which God works on this earth. That's the Holy Ghost of God and the Scriptures. Amen? That book in your hand, it's not to be treated as a great literary work. It's not to be treated as just another archive or just another historical document or account. This Bible right here is the very words of God. This is the very mind of God. The very character of God is revealed to you and I through this book that we hold in our lap right now. You say you want to know God. You say you want to draw closer to God. You say you want to fellowship with Him. Get in this book right here. You look on every page, you can find Jesus. Amen. I like what Paul said to the Thessalonican church. And he became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Your affliction this evening, it might be that loneliness. It might be that brokenheartedness. It might be that separated feeling. But my friend, you get in this book right here. You allow God to use this book to cultivate your heart, to work on your heart, and ask for God to speak to you when you read your Bible. It's a spiritual thing. It's not just you wake up and you get your text message devotion and you think, oh, yeah, well, that's great. And then Dr. So-and-so says this about the Bible and you go on your way. No, when you come to this book right here, you're coming before God's account of righteousness. You're coming before the very Word of God. The Bible says in John chapter number 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Before the worlds were framed, before the universe was set into place, before the stars were out in the skies, God's Word was forever settled in heaven. Isaiah said, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of the Lord shall stand forever." This is a supernatural book. And you want to combat that loneliness. There have been many lonely nights that I've got up and I've just read my Bible to hear from God. You can have fellowship with the Spirit through Scripture. Not only can you have fellowship with the Spirit through Scripture, you can have fellowship with the Spirit through supplications. You say, "Preacher, what is that?" It's a word that's used in the New Testament to describe prayer. It's a word used to describe your petitions before God. We sing that song, sweet hour of prayer. It says, "Sweet hour of prayer, thy wings does my petition bear. To thee whose truth and righteousness await the waiting soul to bless." You can have fellowship with the Spirit of God this evening through supplications. Go with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. Jude in verse number 19. The Bible says this, "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit But ye, remember how earlier in the same account, Jude, he said, I was going to write a common salvation, but he said it was needful for me to exhort. He said, I was going to write of the gospel, I was going to write that, but God instructed me otherwise. He's writing to Christians here. He speaks of the world and he speaks of our separation from the world, just like we've been studying in Ephesians 4 in Sunday school. He says, these be they who separate themselves, central, having not the Spirit, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And there be many a people that have tussles and debates over just exactly what Jude is trying to say here about praying in the Holy Ghost. Now understand that I don't believe he's talking about speaking in tongues. I don't believe he's talking about those sign gifts. That's not what I believe he's talking about there. And I don't believe he's talking about those utterances that the Spirit makes when you know not what to pray for. You know what the Bible says? In the hour in which you know not what to pray, the Spirit maketh utterances, intercession for them. See, God the Holy Ghost will pray for you when you don't even know what to pray for. When you can't even pray, He'll pray for you. I believe when he's talking about praying in the Holy Ghost, I believe he's simply talking about praying the way that God wants you to pray. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? How does God want you to pray? God wants you to pray often. God wants you to pray fervently. God wants you to pray prayers with faith, believing that He hears, believing that He answers those prayers, and believing that what your prayers are doing is moving the hand of God, is moving the heart of God, and He sees those supplications, and He sees those prayers, and He answers those prayers. I've listened to one message the past 2 weeks. I've probably listened to it 5 times now. Old preacher by the name of B.R. Lakin from West Virginia. He used to travel by mule to preach in churches, and I found a good audio tape of him from the 70s, and he was preaching, and he preached on the 55th Psalm, where the Bible says, evening and morning and at noon I will pray, I will cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And he was praying on, he was preaching on 3 meetings with Jesus, and he was preaching on prayer, and he made this statement. He said, have you ever been praying and you just pray for something you didn't even intend to pray for? He said, when you got down on bended knee, when you went to the Lord in prayer, when you crossed that threshold and you entered into the throne room of God spiritually and you came before that throne of grace, you find yourself praying for things that weren't even on your mind. He said, you're praying in the Holy Ghost. You're letting the Spirit of God lead you in your prayer life. You may tell you something that'll make you miserable, and I can tell you from experience, somebody who's invested quite a bit of time doing it, it was when you're praying and God's not in it. When you're down and you're praying and you can't keep your focus and you can't think straight and it seems like everything in the world's going on and you're paying attention to the fly buzzing on the wall behind you and you can hear something, you can hear the clock ticking all the way in the kitchen 3 rooms down and you got all these things going on and it's cold and it's indifferent and it's not faithful and you think to yourself, what in the world am I doing here? That's not praying in the Holy Ghost. That's not praying in the Holy Ghost. I'll say something. We sang that song, Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. You know, there have been times, I'm just recalling times in my mind, where I've had to get down and pray, and it's not like heaven came down and glory filled my soul right at once. I had to knock a while, had to ask a while, had to seek a while. I had to just sit a while in reverence to God, and I had to get myself right. Brother Lester Roloff used to call it getting in the spirit of prayer. And you stick around a while long enough, and you tarry in prayer long enough, and you keep persistent in prayer, and pretty soon, my friend, heaven is going to come down, and glory is going to fill your soul, and it's going to captivate your heart, and it's going to captivate your mind, and it's going to take you over in a way that you've never experienced before. And I'm telling you, you'll spend hours on your face before you even know it. That's praying in the Holy Ghost. And you can have fellowship with the Spirit of God through those supplications. And many a times we treat prayer like a chore. Amen. I need to get down. I need to say now lay me down to sleep and I'm done. My friend, if you ever pray in the Holy Ghost, you ever pray and get a hold of God, you ever really have fellowship with the Spirit of God through supplication, that time's not going to matter to you. It's going to tick away, and before you even know it, you're down on your face for 4.5 hours. It's because you're having fellowship with God. And not only can you have fellowship with the Savior through salvation, through submission and fellowship with the Spirit through the Scriptures and through supplication, but you can have fellowship with the saints, and everybody hear me out right here, through service. Through service. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And Paul, he's speaking to the church at Corinth, and I love what he says. I love the powerful words that God the Holy Ghost uses through the Apostle Paul as he exhorts us to service. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 57. And the Bible says this, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the glory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You want to combat that loneliness? Find ways to keep yourself busy. Find ways to serve God. Find ways to volunteer in the church and do things so that you can have fellowship with one another. Amen? Listen to me. I'm all for going fishing, okay? If Brother Larry says, "Mike, I want to take you out fishing, we're going to go catfish all night long," I'll say, "Hallelujah, glory to God for it," and I'll do it. Amen? But you know what I enjoy more? Is going out and knocking on doors with him. Is going out and knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus and knowing that behind me he's praying. Or seeing Brother Tom knock on doors and standing behind him and praying in my spirit that God will do something. It knits us closer together. Amen. It's a different kind of fellowship. It's closer than blood. Okay?
Amen.
There are things that I'm more comfortable around you guys than I am my own blood family, those of them that aren't saved. Because there's a barrier there. There's something they can't understand. There's something that they don't have that I so desperately and dearly want for them to have, but they can't understand those things. And in those times that I get lonely, there's nothing they can do about it. But I come to the house of God on a Sunday night and I see a crowd like this and I thank God for it. It encourages me. I'm thankful for those that are willing to serve. I was mentioned just a minute ago how everybody in here tonight came for that Vacation Bible School meeting and was willing to serve. That blesses my heart. You see, if we don't have that Vacation Bible School and God doesn't bless and draw this church closer together. You have fellowship with the saints through service. You stay busy in the Lord. You stay busy working and laboring with one another to do something great for God. It'll help you in those times you feel lonely. Galatians chapter number 6. Lastly, Galatians chapter number 6. Very quickly, I'll reiterate what we've said so far. You can have fellowship with your Savior through salvation, through submission, fellowship with the Spirit through the Scriptures and through supplication. You can have fellowship with the saints through service. And last but not least, you can have fellowship with the saints through suffering. Through suffering. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2. I want you to look there with me. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And I mentioned just a minute ago when we had our introduction, so to say, everybody in here has been lonely. Either you have been lonely, or you are lonely, or you're going to be lonely. It happens to everybody. There's a time for all of us to be lonely. And in those times that we're lonely, I hope that you haven't found yourself in this situation, but there are some times that you feel so alone, and you feel so burdened and so weighed down, and that there's nobody there to help you carry that load. That's why we have church. That's why we get together. It's not a museum where we get together and display our sainthood. It's a hospital for people that are broken, for people that are lonely, for people that are hurt, for people who need God just like me and just like you. And the Bible tells us, "Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And you study throughout the New Testament, and you look at the law of God and the law of Christ, and you look at the law of man, or what's oftentimes referred to in the book of Hebrews as the law of Moses. And see, the law of Moses, what it says is justice. What it says is justice, and it says you get what you deserve, and it says you get what's coming to you, and you said you're going to have to bear this on your own. It's all on you, and everybody wanted the law of Moses until they were the transgressor, until they were the one bearing the load. And then they want the law of Christ. You say, what's the law of Christ? It's mercy. It's compassion. It's love. It's faithfulness to one another. It's caring and loving for one another the way that Christ cares for us. The Bible tells us forgive as Christ forgave. The whole reason God's letting you breathe His air tonight is because He's given you another chance to live and be more like Him. You want to be like Jesus? Bear somebody's burdens. Lift somebody up out of that depression and out of that loneliness and out of that heartache and out of that hurt and encourage them. And tell them, say, I'm going to be there for you. I don't care if it's face-to-face. I don't care if it's through a phone call, if it's through a text message, if it's on the Facebook Messenger, however you want to do it. Let somebody know you're there for them. Encourage somebody. Because sooner or later, you're not going to be the one on the outside looking in. You're going to be the one on the inside looking out. And you're going to need that encouragement.
Amen.
And you're going to need that help. And you're going to be that lonely person. And you're going to depend on that fellowship. God gives us ways through His Bible to combat that loneliness. We can do it together, church. We can fight it together. And I don't know who in here tonight is going through what or what you might be struggling with. I'm just trying to preach what God told me to preach. But I do know this. That loneliness has been real in my life. More oftentimes than more than once. I'm glad for my Savior. I'm glad for the Spirit of God. I'm glad for the saints that are here tonight to help me combat it. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just one moment, with every head bowed and every eye closed? And I surely believe that everybody in here is saved and on their way to heaven. But I'm never going to pass up an opportunity to invite someone to know Christ. And you might be in here this evening. You might be in here and you volunteered for the VBS and you've been baptized and your name is going in the church directory in a few weeks and you've got all your ducks in a row. But inside your heart, you know there's something wrong. You know you're just playing church. You know you're playing a game. You know you're putting on that religious facade. And you know that if you were to die this very moment, if the breath in your lungs right now were the last one you were to draw, you'd lift your eyes in hell. If there's one in here like that this evening, I wonder, would you just raise your hand and say, Preacher, I need to get saved. If you're in here, just raise your hand and say, Preacher, I need to get saved. I wonder how many by testimony of faith would raise their hand and say, Preacher, I know I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I know Jesus as my Savior. Will you raise your hand? God bless them all over the house. I wonder how many raise their hand and say, Preacher, there's been a time or two that I've had that loneliness overcome me. And I've had to battle it, and I've had to fight it. And I have a spouse that loves me, and I have brothers and sisters in Christ that love me, and I have kids that love me and parents that love me. But there's sometimes it just feels like I'm so alone. Would you raise your hand? All over the house. God bless your heart. All over the house. Church, we can combat it. We can fight it together. You and your Savior can fight that. You and the Spirit of God can fight that. You and I, you and your neighbor, you and your brother, you and your sister, we can fight that together and encourage one another and exhort one another. I wonder if any be willing to come to the altar this evening and pray and get a hold of God and say, God, help me with this. God, encourage me in the Lord. God, do what only You can do in my heart and my mind. And I'm going to sing the song that we sang just a few moments ago, and if God's impressed upon your heart to come to this altar and get a hold of Him, I invite you to come. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou biddest me come to Thee, O Lamb of God I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. With every head bowed and every eye still closed, I want to make a general statement. I want to say this. By all means, if God's not impressing upon your heart to come to the altar, then don't go, okay? But let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with going to the altar. Just about every service I'm not preaching, I find myself on the altar because it's a good place to be to get a hold of God, to come before God and humble ourselves. Maybe you're in here and you're nervous. And you say, "Preacher, I haven't made my way to the altar yet. I haven't responded like that quite yet." You pray for me. God, give me the courage. I will. But I just want you to know that there's nobody in this room that's going to judge you or think any differently of you for coming to that altar to pray. They better not, anyways. And that loneliness is a real thing, and it breaks people down, and it burdens people. I pray that something in the message tonight helped or encouraged someone. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you've done. Lord, I pray that you bless the business meeting that we're getting ready to have. Bless my friends, my church here with me this evening, God. And Lord, I pray, God, that you just have your will and your way in our hearts and our minds. And in those times when we feel so lonely and we feel so outcast, Father, Lord, and we feel so alone, Lord, that you would just help us, Lord, to have that fellowship, Lord, with you. God, that your Holy Ghost might be real in our lives. And Lord, that we might seek that fellowship with one another, Lord, and encourage and exhort one another. God, I thank you for this evening. Thank you for the sweet spirit in the service. Well, thank you for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.